This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed! Strike three! He's done it! Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right. Inside the 9 o'clock hour as we proceed to give you what you need. More football talk, you know. You can talk football all year round. You can talk baseball all year round, but... we're going to talk football because we have two quarterback needy football teams, and the combine stage is over. Next is the Pro Bowl. Next is the combine, or the pro day rather, and then the draft. And we'll figure out whether the Jets or Giants are going to draft one of these quarterbacks. Right now, we're really talking about Shedeur Sanders. Cam Ward, I don't think, is going to be available to the Jets or Giants unless they trade up. And that asking price is going to be heavy, where I don't know if it's worth doing. I think Cam Ward is going to be a good quarterback in this league. I think he can be a good prospect. I think, you know, if he's in the right situation, like, he's going to work. But this stuff around Shedeur Sanders is peculiar. And I only say that because, like I said, I've followed the kid from Jackson State to Colorado to now. And even you can go look for his two legendary podcasts himself, like, yourself, he doesn't talk the way that he was talking at the combine. It's funny. I just saw somebody in the comments on Football Forever with, you know, what I was talking about. They're like, backwards hat. Like, he's rocking the backwards hat. Jackson Dart had the backwards hat on. I'm wearing a backwards hat. Wearing your hat backwards doesn't mean anything. It's just the way that you're wearing. And actually, if you're on camera and you're talking to people, instead of wearing the brim over the front of your face, turn the hat around. But let's hear what Todd McShay had to say. And Todd McShay... I don't know if you've been listening to me and following my coverage. Todd McShay is who I kind of lean towards more than a Mel Kiper, because Todd McShay played quarterback at University of Richmond. If you remember RJ calling, shout out to RJ. RJ called and we had the little back and forth because RJ left New Jersey and went to University of Richmond and never took his official visit at James Madison University. And I left New Jersey and went to James Madison University and never took my visit to Richmond. But Todd McShay being a former Richmond quarterback and, you know, teammate of Joe Douglas down there, and then all of his years of watching film, he was dead on about Daniel Jones. Go back to his take about Daniel Jones. First thing he said, he felt disappointed for Giants fans. He probably could have wrote the script to how this was going to go. He probably didn't think he would get that contract. But, yeah, Todd McShay is a guy you got to listen to and you got to follow. And I just saw today he, like, put a post out thanking his production crew. Todd, keep it going. Do more as we get to the draft. You got our ear. We are listening. He put out a video a couple weeks ago saying that Jackson Dart wasn't so far off of being QB2.
after he looked at the film with Shedeur Sanders. I think I played that one night. I don't know if it was Paul. Maybe it was Fleegs. I did play that. I remember we had to kind of like search to get it. But now people are starting to clip, because he doesn't put his stuff on Twitter. People are starting to clip his stuff from Instagram and put it on Twitter. So we have the clip of him talking about what I was just talking about, a quarterback coach from some NFL team that interviewed Shedeur Sanders. He's not alone, but, you know, the word after Shedeur Sanders came to the combine over the weekend, it hasn't been a positive word. Let's play what Todd McShay heard and, you know, what he had to say.
The two people that I spoke to were in meetings and had these individual meetings that I just laid out to you, what they are, who's in there, and why they're important. Teams in the top 10 drafting that need a quarterback. The two people that I spoke to in these positions left the meeting feeling like Shedeur Sanders was not overly concerned with what they thought of him. They had the 15-minute meeting with them, and when they were done, they both said in different ways, different words, that they did not feel like Shedeur Sanders cared all that much about what that organization thought of him. Fascinating, right?
I could see that. I could see Shedeur with, I don't know, maybe the Browns. But I don't think it was the Browns, because the Browns are number two overall and he wants to go top five. But let's say the Browns. He said top 10. So let's say here's a better example. Number nine, the New Orleans Saints, which I don't understand why he would be this way with the New Orleans Saints. But let's say, you know, they've got Derek Carr there. So Derek Carr probably be the starter. And that's number nine. His dad was drafted five. He's been on record saying he wants to beat his dad and go top five. Let's say he just was short with, you know, the New Orleans Saints and not really whatever, because he doesn't want to go there. It's not good, but at the same time, it could be calculated. You know, it could be intentional. And what Todd McShay goes on to say is, like, either him and Prime, like, worked on this and they've got this, you know, played and pegged exactly how it's going to go, or Shedeur Sanders is going to drop. He's going to be, you know, there, and I saw someone, I think it was Bomani Jones, was like, he's going to be the guy on draft night this year. Like, it was Will Levis, like, it was Lamar Jackson, like, it was Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's going to be the quarterback, not Will Levis. It was Will Levis. He's going to be the quarterback that we're all talking about as a, you know, top two pick that ends up falling. Well, he's not going to be in Green Bay. He's already said he's going to be in Colorado, so they can have a camera on him, but I'm sure he'll be able to duck the camera easier not being at the actual NFL draft. Let me know your thoughts, 888-808-1019. Giants fans, and Jets fans know that there was a report put out that both teams are interested in trading up to number one for Cam Ward. It is going to be a pretty penny. Dan Graziano reported earlier that the Jets and Giants are both showing interest. Let me know your thoughts on Cam Ward, on Shedeur Sanders, as well as the free agent options that are going to be out there to quarterback both teams. Mario, Long Beach, always on the Fan. Welcome back.
What's going on? Good show as always.
Thanks.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that, listen, the guy you had on, whatever he was, to say Sanders is not going the first round is ludicrous. There's no way he's not going in the first round. Not happening.
Okay, yeah,
I don't know where he's going to go, but certainly the first round. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 1-2, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders.
I think he goes first round. But as we come off of the combine and the conversation, these are smoke screens. They're going to lead you to believe that he's not going to go first round. And then I'm telling you, the team that wants him either trades up. Like, Patrick Mahomes was drafted 10th overall. And the Chiefs traded up to get him. Like, somebody's going to go get him. So,
yeah. And another thing that he said too is Aaron Rodgers. Do you know that Aaron Rodgers threw for like 3,800? He threw for more yards than Josh Allen, who won the MVP. So I'm not saying he had a great year, but he's certainly not shot. He threw for 28 touchdowns and 3,800 yards.
Yeah. I don't know. I watched those games. He was stat padding at the end of the year.
But those aren't bad numbers, though.
No, but
those are pretty good numbers.
Men lie, women lie, numbers don't, but stats do. Those stats tell a different story than all of us watched. Aaron Rodgers had multiple opportunities to win games. He couldn't do it.
You're right.
He turned
the
ball over a ton. His mechanics are shot. Like, his fundamentals are shot. He can't make throws that he's supposed to make, right? I saw, like, I forget the tight end. Who was it, Yeboah? There was a play where Yeboah was wide open. He threw it at his feet, and I'm like, he's mad at him. Like, oh, you're supposed to cut up field more. I'm like, hit him. He's wide open. There, high school kids.
You're right. You're right about that.
So I know we're going to look at the numbers and the complete year, but the most important number is wins. And he wasn't able to win, and he had the ball in his hands. And younger Aaron Rodgers did that, would lead drives to win games. Like, Josh Allen had James Cook, and Josh Allen had, you know, six different receivers. And Josh Allen also could run the ball. He's the MVP because they won.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. But Rob, the numbers, I mean, he still can play, though. He can still play.
And that's why he's not retiring, and that's why somebody's going to bring him on. I just don't think anyone's going to bring him on and say, you're QB1, and I think he's got so much ego, he's going to want that respect. So if he's not QB1 going into training camp, then I think there's a real possibility of him holding out and saying, call me when your QB1 gets hurt.
Exactly. Oh, well, my last thing here is Justin Fields to the Jets, and I'll tell you why. Justin Fields, do you know who is he threw to Garrett in college.
The Buckeyes,
right?
Yep.
Yeah. And he's 26 years old. And you know what I see him like? He's a lot like Jalen Hurts. He really is, because when Hurts came up, a runner that didn't throw that well, Hurts, you know, it's very interesting. He was saying whether he's elite or not. He's had some elite performances. But like you said, he's got perfect, protection. He threw the ball only like 20 times. He's got no pressure on him to do things, but he's played well, though. You can't say he hasn't played well, but, you know, I see this Hurts as being a little bit of a carbon copy of him if you really look at the way they play.
I'm going to give Hurts a shot,
you know?
Thanks for the call, Mario. I think that's super disrespectful to Jalen Hurts. We were questioning if he was elite during the season when A.J. Brown was pointing to him saying, why the passing game is lacking. We were questioning if he was elite during the season when it was Saquon rushing for 200, 300 yards, where you're like, yeah, just hand the ball to him. In the biggest game of the year, 2 years out of the last three, he was the best player on the field. He balled. So I'm not questioning whether he's elite anymore. He's Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl winning quarterback. You can't compare him to Justin Fields. Justin Fields is nowhere near the field general that Jalen Hurts is. Jalen Hurts doesn't even crack a smile. He's stoic. That's the number one thing about him. He's unflappable. You can't tell if he's flustered. You can tell if Justin Fields is flustered. His decision-making, Justin Fields versus Jalen Hurts, completely different. Jalen Hurts knows where to go with the ball. A couple turnovers here and there, but for the most part, like, he's leading that team. He's running that offense. When he needs to make a throw, he makes the throw. When he's called on to run, he'll break a 44-yard run to the house in the playoffs. Justin Fields had a good year running the ball with the Bears. When he had DJ Moore, he figured it out a little bit. I know we're going to keep leaning on him being 26. What is the age? I guess, like, you know, he has more time to develop in theory. But I'm just not sure how much of a thrower of the football he can be at an NFL level. The Steelers' passing offense went up when they put Russell Wilson in. And what we saw was just like Russell Wilson at 36 was able to put more touch on the ball, more accurate with the ball, quicker decision-making. Justin Fields, not so much. Justin Fields and George Pickens not being on the same page because Justin Fields couldn't hit him. I wouldn't compare him to Jalen Hurts. But if the Jets are interested in bringing him in, come on down. I don't know if he beats out Tyrod Taylor. I don't think he beats out Tyrod Taylor. Look at that. Squid Games. Andrew Velasquez with the late home run for the Yankees. Trying to shine. Trying to emerge. Trying to get a look at the Yankees' third base spot. 888-808-1019. Brian is in West Palm on the Fan. What's up, Brian?
Yeah, I want to talk about the Yankees a little bit. Hal doesn't want to go over $300 million. He's at $307 million. I don't understand why he has not gone out and made a trade for Arenado. You know what I'm saying?
Money.
Number two,
they're not trying to bring that contract on for another aging player. They're done. They're good. They're going to go with their internal options.
Okay, I disagree. Me too.
Especially now when we're looking at this team and the amount of holes, and that's a guy that's over there in St. Louis that is just like, why? I don't know why they won't just punch it, but I do know why. money.
I know. It's all money. I know. Hal, I was at the MLB meetings, and I had a meeting with Hal. Hal went to UNC. You know I play baseball with Florida State.
I remember. I remember.
He went to UNC accounting school, Chapel Hill. He looks at it in business. He's not going over. Number two, I was disappointed when I heard about Luis Gil. I really like him a lot. He's probably not going to be back till my birthday, Memorial Day. Number three, Dominguez.
Later, maybe even later. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, no, thank God we have Stroman. Number three, Dominguez can't play left field. They should put Bellinger in left field and put Dominguez in center or sign Verdugo. And I like Verdugo. I know he didn't hit last year, but he's a really good left fielder. Yeah. You know, I know you're a Yankee fan. I really like Verdugo. A left field in Yankee Stadium is a tough left field. And Dominguez can't cut it. I watched the Yankee games on the YES Network, and he can't play left field at all.
Yeah, they also won't spend the few million to bring Verdugo back. And I'm actually with that. Make Trent Grisham play left field. Make Cody Bellinger play left field. Don't bring Verdugo back to ground out to second. He led the league in ground outs to second. I have it etched in my mind of a Verdugo at bat, him grounding out to second, and then him not hustling to first, and then Boone saying, well, you know, he picks his spots. Jay is in Miller Place. Jay, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking the call. Like the show. Giant fan. So going back to Shador and the conversation that you were having, I didn't watch a ton of him like you did, but I did watch the last game he played. And he didn't look great, to be honest with you, in the last game he played. And I think part of what you're seeing is, to your point, Dion and others trying to say, hey, you know, come look at this guy. We want to draft this guy. We want, you know, let's you know, get some attention to him. But I see Jackson Dart, and I see some of the other guys. Will Howard, even though he threw bad at the combine, some are saying, you know, I still think there's a lot of potential out there for Giants to draft someone else compared to Shador, because he just makes me a bit nervous.
I don't think they're going to draft him now. Thanks for the call, Jay. I just think with the next, like, I don't think that the Giants are the team that are so in love with him that they'll say, to hell with what everybody's saying, to hell with what some of the film is saying, he's our guy. Because it's just such a huge risk for guys on the hot seat that are skating on thin ice. It's too much of a risk at three to potentially pass on guys like if Abdul Carter is there, if Travis Hunter is there, or if one of these linemen are there. 888-808-1019. And, you know, how I was just talking about watching the Super Bowl and seeing Mahomes get his bell rung, hitting his head on the turf. It doesn't excuse Shador Sanders, but I told this story. I was out to dinner with my wife watching it on my phone and, like, not trying to be that guy, but kind of, like, telling my wife, I love you, but, like, I need to watch this. Like, I need, this is this kid's last game. He could be the next Giants quarterback. Like, I need, there was a play early on where the pocket broke down and he took off running up the middle to try and get the first down. I think he was short. I'm not 100% sure. I got to go back to the highlights. I can probably see. But he took a hit early in that game. And then me following his podcast, he went on his podcast to talk about how he got his bell rung. He might have been semi-concussed. He was dazed. And he didn't come back to having his full center of gravity, being, you know, having his wits about him until after halftime. So much so that in the first half, his dad, you know, trying to coach and being locked into the game was like, are you here? Are you all right, man? Are you here? And he wasn't all there. So that's tough to have that showing. Obviously, he did get it going, and Travis Hunter had some big plays, and he did make some throws later on. But that showing against BYU, who was in conference, like that being your last showing, it's not good what they put on film. And then also coming out and going to the Shrine Bowl, where I thought he was going to compete. Most of us thought he was going to compete. They even put a lot of his teammates in there because they're like, all right, we got your door. He shows up there. He does his interview. He doesn't compete. And then the phone number that he gave to scouts and representatives at the Shrine Bowl, he loses the Shrine Bowl. He's got a video out where he talks about, I told my mom to find it in the house. Right. You told your mom to find your phone in the house? Go find the phone, young man. There's business on that phone. You're about to go to the NFL. But maybe this is all a plan. Maybe this is just an elaborate scheme and a smokescreen from Deion Sanders prime time. But actually, I don't know. The more I think about it, some of it is, but some of it is also just Shador being young and being super confident and also negligent. Like, you can't lose the phone, bro. You can't give out your number to scouts and then lose that phone. They can't contact you. That's kind of ridiculous. I don't think Deion's advising him to do that. Deion probably told him to show up there and be confident and talk the talk and walk the walk, but he didn't tell him to lose the contact. You need to be talking to these guys. As you're coming into the NFL draft, you need to make yourself appealing to all 32 NFL teams, whoever may draft you, because things change on draft day, and things change leading up to the draft. Somebody's going to rise, somebody's going to fall. You just want to make yourself as appealing as possible. And, I mean, I know they can lean on the 4 years of film, but that last game didn't do him any good. He didn't do anything at the Shrine Bowl. He didn't do anything at the Combine but talk. And right now, there's some smoke screens up. I don't know. Do you believe the talk helps him? Do you believe the talk hurts him? Max is in Muncie, New York on the Fan next. What's up, Max?
Hi, what's up?
You know, watching a Yankee game, eighth inning now. So what you got, Max?
Before I get to my door sounds, but I want to speak about what do you think the Mets are going to do with Gotton Gutierrez?
Well, I think we lost Max, but he said something about what do you think the Mets are going to do regarding the rotation? Kodai Senga, what are we saying? Because Quintana got signed. I think they're good. I talked earlier about how not bringing Quintana back for a one-year deal shows you as well. The Yankees are done spending, so are the Mets. George Lombard Jr. got that one again. Woo! Yeah, we got to expedite George Lombard Jr. for the Yankees. Start that kid at third base. He's tall. I like the swing. I like the swag. Nah, I know. He's 19. This kid was in high school. I remember watching him get drafted. I think I was in Seattle for that draft for the All-Star game. He's not going to get expedited. But the Yankees, they got one with this kid. The top 100 prospects come out for the Yankees. George Lombard, or the top 100 prospects in baseball come out. I think I saw Fireside Yankees post something. I got to see where they have George Lombard Jr. He's catching the eye of a lot of Yankee fans and a lot of people in baseball. And if you're not familiar with George of the Jungle, you got to get familiar. The Yankees need this young man to grow up in a hurry. I like his swing, boy. I like that. That's another. And he just hit another one over the fence. 888-808-1019. We can continue the Yankees conversation, but obviously we're focusing right now on Shedeur Sanders, the Giants draft, the Jets, and the Giants potentially both trying to get Cam Ward and trading up with the Titans and what they're going to have to give up. And then also Aaron Rodgers is the song that doesn't end in Asbury Park. Brian, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, Keith? Nice to talk to you again. A couple things. Just want to preface this. I just wanted to just thank you for being you, dude. You represent us, and I really honestly believe, like, I think sports might be the beginning of where your career is going, because I feel like you're literally, they joke around about the generational talent. You're like a voice of the generation. I'm not trying to blow smoke up your butt, but it's just how I feel. Number two, Aaron Rodgers. I don't even know why we're discussing Aaron Rodgers. Like, even, let's say, perfect scenario, he comes back to the Giants, he goes to the Giants, and we draft who we want. Like, he is not the personality you want teaching anybody. What was he going to teach them? How to be selfish? How to have a Pat McAfee radio show? Like, it's not somebody you want to have being a mentor to anybody. That personality is not fit to be a mentor. And then the last thing I wanted to say was just, you know, I've been a Yankees fan since Jimmy Key was on Sports Illustrated. That's a long time ago. I'm not ready to pull the ripcord yet, dude. Like, I just feel like it's really early in the season, and I know we have a lot of injuries, and I just feel like we always find a way. I mean, I'm talking like we've had years with Miguel Cairo. If anybody remembers Miguel Cairo? Like, who the heck was he? Like, we always have that way of us that somebody comes out of nowhere and we end up being just fine. And I feel like, you know, we're so used to just this World Series. I want to get back to the World Series. I want to win a World Series, but like, I'm just not ready to, like, you know, start calling alerts and making a big deal out of nothing. It's spring training. It's like a weekend. Let's just see what happens. And I have a little faith in the pinstripes. That's all I got to say. Thanks a lot, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Brian. We can go backwards here. I have a ton of faith in the pinstripes. I'll be wearing them.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Out to my guy, Joe's McFly, who says, keep your pinstripes on and stay pinstripe strong. We always believe. But for the sake of spring training competitions, watching exhibitions, like, we have the conversation about where we're lacking. This is the New York Yankees. They made more money than they ever made last year. But they're going to stop. They're putting a self-imposed cap on where they're not going any further to spend to help the team. 888-808-1019. That's okay. Yeah, somebody's going to rise and emerge, and I said that. That's what spring training is for, right? That's camp. As I'm watching Andrew Velasquez homer, and I'm like, he's trying to be noticed. He's trying to be seen. Squid Games 2.0, remember him a few years back? George Lombard Jr. at 19 hitting another homer. It's like, hey, Yankee fans, you see me? I'm on the way as well. But the reality is this team has to get back to the World Series and win it. That's the expectation. It's lofty. Like, how many teams go to the World Series and get back the next year? How many teams go back to the World Series and win it? What was the last team to do that? Royals? Were the Astros in that? I don't know. I got to go back and check the history. But, like, it's a tall task. The team that they did get to the World Series with had Giancarlo Stanton, had Juan Soto, had Gleyber Torres, even had Alex Verdugo. They're not there anymore. So, you know, that's why I looked at the captain. I'm like, Cap, this is on you, bro. You got to really, you got to come out of the gates as MVP, and you got to be that all the way through. So I have faith in the pinstripes. I know, I understand. They always win. They're the Yankees, right? There's something about those pinstripes. There's something about Yankee Stadium. The ghost will be activated. They'll go on winning streaks. They'll dominate at some points. But ultimately, will they have enough? And I know this too. The team that starts the season is never the team that ends the season. The opening day lineup is never the same for the postseason. But for the purpose of being on Sports Talk Radio in New York City, the Fan in New York, New York Yankees Radio, we got to have the conversation after we find out Luis Gil is down. He's not going to throw for 6 weeks. We got to have the conversation after we find out that Stanton, both of his elbows are just cooked. He's on the IL. He's back in New York. Nobody knows what the personal reasons are. It's not great. DJ LeMahieu plays one game. He has a calf injury now. And the Yankees sold you on, well, DJ's healthy. Yeah, DJ looks good. And if DJ is healthy, he's this kind of hitter. Well, he's not healthy. And Marcus Stroman, who we thought you were going to trade, and Yankee fans made a big fuss. Oh, hey, where's Marcus Stroman? Why isn't he in camp? Well, now he's in the rotation after telling you I'm not going to the bullpen, I'm a starter. So these are things that we have to talk about. You know, Peraza, Cabrera at third base, Jason Dominguez in left field. It hasn't looked great. It hasn't looked great. I mean, he's going to have to play left field, I assume, but you also have options there. So you talk about those type of things. We also have options with who the Jets and the Giants are going to draft. Neither one actually has a quarterback. Tyrod Taylor counts, but this new regime can't hitch their wagon to Tyrod Taylor, not for long at least. And the Giants regime, they have to hit. They have to hit on a veteran quarterback, free agent quarterback that they bring in, as well as the right quarterback that they draft and bring into that room. There's a lot of questions to be answered. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. I got another half hour until we bring in Ian Begley to talk Knicks. We will also do some conversation around Jalen Brunson and the crew later on tonight. If you would like to get a word in on the Giants, on the Jets, on the draft, on the quarterback situation, as well as the Yankees, and, you know, Max called, tried to mention something about the Mets rotation. We're going to talk Mets at some point as well. Call the line. KM to AM returns right after this.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The New York Mets, for the first time in 15 years, are champions of the National League.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
What? N-O-R-E. KM to AM. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Right back at it. You already know. No update right here at 9:35, but we do have an update out of Madison Square Garden. The Rangers shut out the Islanders 4-0 as we approach the trade deadline. We'll see what happens there. I did see over the weekend, I'll tap Paul in here, as you know, some Rangers fans may be in the car and may be listening. I did see the trade over the weekend, and I told you the last time when they had the JT Miller trade. I don't pretend to know exactly what these trades mean, but the Rangers traded Ryan Lindgren and Jimmy Vesey, happy trails, to the Avalanche, and they got back some players, Paul. This was a good deal. This was something that you as a Rangers fan applauded. This is something that you didn't like. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so they when you trade Lindgren and Vesey for Parson and some draft picks, essentially, it was kind of like almost a light sell from Chris Drury, who's the GM of the Rangers. The trade deadline, by the way, is on Friday. So it was kind of a light sell. I still don't know if this Rangers team is good enough to actually like go far in the playoffs, which I think is what Drury is like really looking forward to. So if Drury thinks that this team can't go far, then I don't mind him selling. Because I don't want another first-round exit, second-round exit. That does nothing to me for me as a Ranger fan. I don't need that. I don't want that. I'd want the best chance to win a title and to win a Stanley Cup. If that best chance means moving on from Riley Smith, who again didn't play tonight because of roster management reasons, maybe moving a Chris Kreider, maybe moving a defenseman. If that is what it takes to set us up for next year or the year after, I'm okay with that. Because I still have a hard time believing that this current issue of this Rangers team can actually win and go far in the postseason. I don't believe that yet.
Understood. The team looks a lot different than it did a month ago, 3 months ago. And we push forward here and see what we've got. I don't expect the Islanders to make much noise, but let's go. The Devils got to figure it out. I almost had to unfollow Frank the Tank. I'm like, the only team that I share in common with Frank the Tank is the Devils. And you would think that the Devils are absolutely cooked, terrible, done, the way that Frank talks about it.
Well, the Jack Hughes injury, that is a huge, huge deal.
Not great.
And it looks so similar to what happened last year when he separated his shoulder. And let's hope it's not that serious. But that was not a good-looking injury last night in Vegas. Is Jack Eichel kind of like,
yeah,
they kind of mixed up skates a little bit. And I don't think there was any intent to injure from Eichel's point of view, but that is going to be a major issue because I think the Devils, when they're healthy, I think they have a real, real, real good chance to go far in the Eastern Conference Plus. But if they don't have Hughes for the next three months, that's a problem.
They could take a hit in the standings. They already have taken a hit in the standings. It's tough. You get Markstrom back, you lose Hughes, and here comes the deadline, and all things point to the Devils are going to go for it. So there's our puck talk, for people listening. When are you going to mention any hockey stuff? 888-808-1019. Let's get back to what we were talking about. Brian from Asbury Park called. That's who I last talked to. And I put, you know, a couple notes because I was going to go backwards and hit everything he said. But, you know, we're up against a break. So I really just, you know, hit the Yankees topic where he was saying, you know, have some faith in our pinstripes. And I said, I am. But at the same time, I'm not going to ignore the flaws. I'm not going to ignore the holes in the team. I'm not going to ignore the roster construction, the allocation of funds, whatever. You know, before that, he mentioned two things. I'll quickly mention the first thing he said because it's not sports related. It's me related. But then I'll lean into the second thing he said, and then we'll get back to your calls at 888-808-1019. You know, he's calling from my area, Asbury Park, New Jersey. I am a sure thing, pun intended. Double entendre. I am from the Jersey Shore area, born and raised, influenced by a ton of things from that area, and I represent people from that area very proudly. I'm not from New York. I don't pretend to be from New York. I went to Ocean Township High School. I went to Monmouth University. I was born in Monmouth Medical Center. So, you know, that's one thing. You know, Brian calling from Asbury Park, he's obviously calling with that lean. But, you know, he said, you're a voice of a generation. You know, you're not proclaiming you're a generational talent or something along those lines. And shout out to Loogie. That's Loogie's shtick. Like, that's Loogie's thing. Lugi, the Lugauer, like, that's Tommy's thing. I'm a generational talent. That's, you know, like, that. I don't know. That's got nothing to do with me. I don't think I could get that off. I don't think
I hate the Mets. These are my Mets.
It's got nothing to do with the Mets. But the Mets isn't my shtick either. I would say that some of my, you know, my WWE villain might be trolling the Mets fans. But when it's time to talk baseball and talk about things, I tip my cap to Steve Cohen, David Stearns, whatever. But as far as, like, being a generational talent or proclaiming on the future, I don't do any of that. What I tell you is the future is now. You listen to the show, you can tell there's young kids calling my show every night. If you follow me online, there are young kids that follow me. What is the future? The future is projecting, right, years from now, when these 13-year-old kids are 18 and they go to college, and when these 18-year-old kids are out of college and they're rocking with Keith McPherson, Cam to Am. I'm extremely blessed. I came in here without an internship. I came in here never board hopping, never producing, never cutting tape. I came in here as someone that was a complete outsider that many people thought would fail, and I haven't, and I'm aware of that. And, like, I know who I am, and I know what I'm doing. And the biggest thing Brian said is, you know, you're like one of us, and I am, right? That's why I say that. No one was picking me to intern here. Nobody was picking me to come in here. I don't have any relatives in here. I don't have anybody that could put me in here. I'm blessed. I got noticed. I can only point to Spike Eskin for noticing my talent, and I'm thankful for that. I can only point to Ryan Hurley and the architect, Chris, like these guys, you know, Dave, like these guys for, you know, keeping me here, right? And allowing me to be myself. So what you're getting is the authentic version of myself. I'm a little tired tonight. I got a little one at home. I've been up since 7 a.m. The coffee did not hit. I found myself tripping over my words a little bit, even trying to read some things. Whatever, we're going to push through. But I appreciate you guys so much. I'm streaming live, and I just said to the 700-plus people in the chat as we get to 800, like, I'm blessed. There was rough times for me where nobody cared about what I was talking about. Nobody cared what I was doing. So to have your attention when you could be watching other things, listening to other things, doing anything, it is an extreme blessing for me, and I'm thankful for it. And I hope you know that, like, this is a two-way street. Like, you listening, you calling builds me up. And so I come in here prepared. I come in here to entertain. I come in here to do the show. Let's get back to doing the show. And I thank you guys for giving me the chance, WFAN, and then also listeners giving me the opportunity. Brian also spoke about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a song that doesn't end. That's what I've been saying for a while. And I also used to say, Aaron Rodgers, your Jedi mind tricks don't work on me. They don't. I hope they don't work on the Giants, but they might. Because the Giants have just nowhere to go. They have desperation. They have to do something. And you know what? The Jedi mind tricks would work on a desperate franchise. 888-808-1019. He's right here, right? They're going to say, ah, well, you know, he's got the house in Florham Park or wherever it is, right here in Jersey. Well, you know, he's not going to be that expensive. We were willing to pay $100 million to Matthew Stafford. And I just look at it like this. You were already a mess. You were already a circus. You're adding another ringleader. You're adding one of the messiest guys to that. You're adding a walking circus to that. It is going to explode. It is not going to be what you think. You can't control Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji attempted to control Aaron Rodgers, and you saw how that went. I would not do it. I would not do it because I just think it adds a level of, like, just more flammability. I just think it's like you're already, like, there's so many things that could go wrong bringing Aaron Rodgers in, and you don't know what he's going to say out of his mouth. You just don't know. And then the football aspect of it, what if you actually ride with him and you draft a rookie quarterback, but you actually, you know, give him the Hall of Fame quarterback respect, which I respect his career, but Jets fans specifically are doing way too much of, look how many touchdowns he threw for. Look at how many yards. He's a Hall of Famer. He's an MVP. Look at his career. That is in the past. Just look at how he played this year. Look at how he tapped out of that game against the Bills. Look at how he quickly pointed the finger at guys like Mike Williams or Yeboah or whoever it was. Look at how he, you know, treated Garrett Wilson once Devontae Adams got there, and how he forced his hand. He's like, I need Randall Cobb. I need Alan Lazard. I need, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would not bring that mess into the building if I was the Giants. The Jets moved on from him. As the Jets' neighbor closest to them, did you not just see everything that went on the last 2 years? Jarvis is in Harlem. Jarvis, you're on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? How are you?
I'm good, man.
Yeah, I want to make 2 points. One about the Aaron Rodgers and one about Woody Johnson. First on Aaron Rodgers, I hear every rumor saying, like, what, Aaron Rodgers going to the Giants. I'm like, if I'm a Giant, why do I want to take Aaron Rodgers? You got the same situation with the Jets for 2 years. First year, injured his Achilles, and then the second year, missing OTAs, missing practice, and going to trip to Egypt and going to Pat McAfee show. Why do you want to have the same situation if you want to go to the Giants? You know the Giants not going to be good in it because they got the toughest schedule. They're in the tough division in the NFC East. I mean, and there's pressure on the GM and the head coach. And John Mara refusing not to fire both of them at the same time. Looks like they're going to keep both of them. So why would the Giants want Aaron Rodgers? I mean, he'll have the same problem too. So and second point about Woody Johnson, the reason why Woody Johnson gets an F because he made the wrong decision, doesn't hire the right people, and doesn't hire the right coach, and all of a sudden there's a new regime that think that it's gonna all this quick fix and think it's gonna be better or something. So
I hope, man. I hope. Thanks for the call, Jarvis. I'm trying to, and I know Woody got an F as a grade as the worst owner in the NFL, and with what was written about him and what we know, yeah, understandably so. They've got the longest playoff drought in professional sports. I get it. But I hope that he wasn't lying when he said he picked these guys to let them do their jobs. I hope he didn't influence the Aaron Rodgers decision. And like I said 10 times, I think Darren, Muji, and Aaron, Glenn sat down and watched the tape together. And as they took notes on the tape, there was just way more cons than pros. No. If Aaron Rodgers, let's have the conversation with Aaron Rodgers. We'll take this 41-year-old version of Aaron Rodgers if he's willing to come in and do it our way. If he's not, then no, he's not a plus. He's not, like, don't let those numbers fool you. And then, you know, going back to the Aaron Rodgers is the song that doesn't end with the Giants, like, are they going to be that desperate to do that? I've heard this brought up a few times with the Jets as far as Bill Parcells not wanting a celebrity quarterback. Can you imagine the Giants going forward with 2 celebrity quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Shador Sanders in the same quarterback room? Hell no. Ari's in Lakewood. What's up, Ari? You're on the Fan. Ari!
Yeah, oh, come on. Okay, bye. Hello?
Yeah, you're on. Cut the radio down, son.
Yeah, I wanted to know, first of all, do you think the Giants are going to pick Travis Hunter, or which quarterback do you think they're going to get?
Yeah, I think Travis Hunter comes with risk, too. If they're not taking a quarterback at 3, I don't know. If they're able to trade up to get Cam Ward at 1, then maybe Cam Ward. But I'm starting to get cold feet around the Giants drafting Shador Sanders, and I don't think that they take a project. Literally, all of them are projects. But, like, if you can't get Cam at 1 and you're sitting at 3 and you're not taking a quarterback and you take Travis Hunter, I see the possibility. And, hey, he can play multiple positions, but he's going to be a project. Like, he wants to play 2 positions in the NFL. The project is going to be telling him, no, this is what you're going to do, and this is how we're going to use you. I think there's just other players that, like, this Giants regime can take a chance on as well. I like Travis Hunter. I don't think that they'll draft him at 3. I think, if anything, they'll trade back. If they can't move up to get Cam Ward, they'll trade back. Or if they actually are in love with Shador, then take him at 3. But I'm slowly starting to come off of that. Like, with all of this negative energy, you know, the thought I had just during the break, because, like, okay, all of this stuff is coming out about these top 10 team interviews. I don't care what he said to the Raiders. I know he has a relationship with Tom Brady. I don't think he goes past 6 if he's there. They have Aiden O'Connell playing. Like, they want to sell tickets and they want to sell merch and they want to, but, like, before the Giants got into the equation, everybody was pointing to the Raiders. When the Raiders had a better draft position, everybody's pointing to the Raiders. Oh, I remember doing the conversation on the Fan. I'm like, oh, it makes perfect sense, right? The Raiders are out west, not that far from Colorado, and the Raiders are in the same division with the Denver Broncos. Shador Sanders was already seen at a Denver Broncos game. They were in a suite. They hosted Deion, Shador, and Shiloh. So Deion can come see his kid play easily right there at Denver. And it's not that far back and forth. If Deion wants to pop in on the weekend and whatever. So like I'm like, there's definitely something to it there with the Raiders. And Deion even saying to their former head coach, hey, you got to draft my boys. And then you should know there's a relationship for years now, Tom Brady and Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur is not a running quarterback. You know, since we started hearing he was working with Tom, he's been a pocket quarterback, trying to be a pocket passer, read the defense, throw the ball, don't run unless you absolutely have to. So I don't think he goes past six. Again, these are smoke screens. You know, right now the Raiders on Tankathon are supposed to be taking Will Johnson. And Will Johnson had some kind of injury where, he had a toe injury. So, like, I don't know if he's a lock to go there. They are quarterback needy. There is a connection with Tom Brady. Tom Brady's out there meeting Matthew Stafford. Well, I don't know. Maybe Shedeur already knows, hey, if the Giants don't take me, there's no way I go past the Raiders at six. Tom already said, go in there and say and do whatever you want, kid. We got you. Alex is in Pelham Bay. Alex, you got it next. You're on.
Yo, what's up, Keith?
What's up?
I have been listening to you since the first night when you took over for Steve, and I didn't know who you were at the time, but from the moment that show started, man, I know you were the perfect man for the job. So just want to say the fans they have something special with you, and I hope to meet you at the stadium one day.
You can. Means a lot. Thank you.
Nice. Thanks, dude. I just want to go on record. Shedeur Sanders, I think he's going to be the biggest bust the league has ever seen. I have a hot take. I think Josh Rosen will have a better NFL career when it's all said and done than Shedeur. I swear, man. Both New York teams, they need a stabilizer at the quarterback position. I think they both need to steer clear of this kid and dodge the bullet, please. Let him drop to Tom Brady. Let him go to Vegas. Have a great time. Enjoy the circus.
Thanks for the call and the compliments, Alex. I don't think he's going Josh Rosen. I'll say this. I don't think he's going to be a bust because Deion's not going to allow it, you know? They're not. I think the kid has a good support system around him. There was a story about like a taxi cab or limousine driver that talked about how Shedeur treated him and how he treated like the people that picked up his luggage. Like, I think he put on a real front of like, I'm Primetime's kid. I'm Shedeur Sanders. I'm a lock. Like, you saw the film. I'm a culture changer. You don't want me, don't get me. Like, I think he turned that up to the highest level that he possibly could. But in reality, in real life, he's humble. And I know Deion is a God-fearing man. I know they're all like religious. And I also know that Deion raising those three boys, like him being the youngest, he had to be a certain type of way. I think a lot of this was an act. It might be to throw some teams off his scent. It might be to get directly to where he wants to go. And we talked about that, right? We talked about Archie Manning and Eli Manning and how they did it. And what Deion said is, me forcing my way or my son to where I want him to go? Oh, it's going to be behind the scenes. You're not going to know. So, like, this is exactly it. Like, maybe this is Deion's plan behind the scenes to force his son into the right situation. I don't think he's going to be a Josh Rosen level bust. I think he's going to be a project. I think he's going to need some time in the right situation. But, like, strip away that he's Deion's kid. Strip away that he showed up with the diamonds and put on this front. If you just go to the film, the number one thing, and we just heard Todd McShay talk about his ability to throw on the run, to escape pressure, and throw the ball downfield. The number one thing is his accuracy. A lot of these guys struggle with their accuracy. A lot of these guys, look at Daniel Jones. Look at Zach Wilson. These guys have open receivers. They can't hit open receivers. If Shedeur Sanders can consistently read the defense and take what the defense gives him and be accurate like he was in college in the NFL, he'll be all right. 888-808-1019. Coming up next is Ian Begley. We're going to mix in some Knicks into the conversation for the Knicks fans that want to talk hoop. If you're on hold for the Giants, for the Jets, for the draft, for the Yankees talk, stay on hold. We'll get to you. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. I'll be right back.